There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 108 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Hour number two on this Tuesday. Glad to have you here. I want to get into a story real fast here. Run through this because coming up in the next segment, we'll be joined by Representative Mike Ball, who has brought up the medical marijuana. He got the medical cannabis bill into regular session in Montgomery. And I got a couple things to set this up, and then we'll get him on the phone. I actually got him on the phone a little bit earlier, but we'll play back the interview from earlier this morning. All right. I do want to run through John Sharp's story because it seems like this is, we mentioned it this morning, but there, who knew? I thought it was just a discussion of whether you're going to have Chick-fil-A in Government Plaza. I mean, really, the way I looked at it, I guess I was thinking of it way too simply, because I thought, well, is it, you know, will there be a problem with a leaky roof and having a Chick-fil-A down at Government Plaza in downtown Mobile? John Sharp writes, Mobile public officials should not create, quote, unfair competition with downtown restaurant owners by allowing Chick-fil-A to set up inside Government Plaza, according to a county commissioner saying that on Monday. He was talking about the Mobile County Commission meeting yesterday, and Merceria Ludgood, citing her concerns about downtown eateries, was the only no vote on a memorandum of understanding between the county and Chick-fil-A that allows the chicken-centric fast food eatery to sell a limited menu of breakfast and lunch items inside the downtown government building. Okay, that those first two paragraphs, that's kind of what I thought it would be. You have two saying yes. You have one commissioner, Commissioner Ludgood, saying no because of some sort of protection for other local businesses that are in the area. John goes on to say, but now it's become something else, hasn't it? John writes here, the commission approved the agreement 2-1 with Commissioners Connie Hudson and Jerry Carl approving. Ludgood said after the vote, I just feel like we have a lot of restaurants downtown and we're trying to build up our capacity with those restaurants. It's counterproductive to bring in another entity that could undermine some of the traffic those restaurants could get. Some of those restaurants, let me point out, are owned by friends of mine, personal friends of mine. But Commissioner Ludgood, I mean, you and I have always got along famously. I don't think that'll change, but that's protectionism. That's protectionism. She said, quoted here, my no vote is really a yes vote for the restaurant industry that's downtown already. Hudson said she doesn't see it that way. Commissioner Hudson said she doesn't see it that way and disputed a suggestion that public officials were creating unfair competition. Ludgood denied that her no vote was related to the national attention Chick-fil-A has gotten over the San Antonio City Council's vote last week to deny the restaurant from opening inside that city's airport. The City Council in San Antonio, the nation's seventh largest city, voted 6-4 to exclude Chick-fil-A from the overall restaurant and concession space inside its international airport over the company's alleged bias against the LGBTQ community. So, Commissioner Ludgood says her no vote was to protect is protectionism and not about the alleged bias against the LGBTQ community. Now, if you would worry that Mobile would be an analog to San Antonio, you might not have spent a lot of time in San Antonio. There are parts of Texas, like a good part of San Antonio and the city of Austin and others, that they're not exactly like the rest of Texas, are they? I really was looking at this story from John, and good story, about it being kind of like protectionist by the council. But now I go look on Twitter and elsewhere, and it's become a battle of the politics of you can't have Chick-fil-A in Government Plaza because it is an implied endorsement of, okay, let me get this right. It's an implied endorsement of an alleged bias. implied endorsement of alleged bias. That's beautiful. Beautiful. To me, it just looked like something just simplistic, like crony protectionism. But oh well. There it goes. So the it looks like it's happening 2-1 vote. It'll be a limited menu. I would just worry about, you know, like the issues surrounding Government Plaza, and then putting the Chick-fil-A in there. I don't know that a Chick-fil-A can exist inside a place that is as inefficient as Government Plaza. Do you think there'll be some kind of small combustion of emotions, not real combustion, or explosion of personalities, not of anything else, when you have an operation that's as efficient as Chick-fil-A operating in a building that's as inefficient as Government Plaza? Who knew? All right, coming right back, Representative Mike Ball and I talk about his proposed medical cannabis legislation. Let me point out, too, Republicans in regular session have brought gas tax bill, a lotto bill, and Republicans bringing medical marijuana.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along this hour. And a text line open at 343-0106. So I mentioned this story this morning during Mobile Mornings, and we'll talk about it with the person that is bringing the bill, HB 243, into session in Montgomery. Representative Mike Ball out of Madison, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You got we got both ends of the state now. I'm down here, and you're on the north side of the state with North Alabama, and, of course, working in Montgomery now. Does it feel good to get back into regular session, not being in special session?
Yes, it does. It was good to get that over and done with, though. I think that would have been a distraction throughout. I mean, you know, a lot of people criticize having a special session, but it's like everything else. There's arguments for it. There's arguments against it. But one thing, it's one last thing we have to deal with going in to this regular session. We've got lots of other things.
Y'all do. And one of them here that I think has got a lot of people talking here is HB 243 that you have filed in the House. Tell folks, in your words, what is House Bill 243?
Well, this is the Compassionate Access Research Expansion Bill on medical cannabis. Of course, people call it marijuana, but it's cannabis. But at any rate, it's this. I didn't just wake up one morning and decide to introduce this. This is the culmination of a long journey that started with Carley's Law 5 years ago, and it started with an email that from a worried grandmother about her grandchild. She had a picture of the baby, and of course, when I saw my background, I'm a career state law enforcement. I was a trooper and then Alabama Bureau of Investigation. And my predisposition was to delete the mail when they said, please consider medical marijuana in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, what she was talking about was the CDB oil first. And she's talking about her granddaughter. And so I almost deleted it, just read the first one, and really did just kind of glance at the rest. But that picture of that baby caught my eye.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I read the email, I figured maybe I could be an investigator, which was what most of my career was, and I might be a politician, but my brain still works like an investigator.
Okay, that's good.
So what I had to do is I had this desperate lady. I noticed the time she sent this email at between 1 and 2 a.m. and I thought, if this desperate grandmother's worried about this at night, the least I could do is give her an honest answer and explain to her and help her understand why she's pinned her false hope on this snake oil, because that's what I thought it was.
So you went into it. You went into it as a doubter, as a skeptic.
More than a skeptic. I was against this, but what happened was, as I got my assistance and started looking into the CD Beal, this was right after they found out the Charlotte's Web stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there was no research available that in the United States. Now, there's tons of research available in Israel, and Israel is way ahead of us on this. And last I looked, there's not a lot of potheads floating around in Israel.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't pulled that
well,
there.
What I'm saying is that the place hadn't fallen apart because of it.
Right.
What I'm saying is, but they're medical. At any rate, so as I researched, I wound up finding a ton of people who had these experiences, particularly with seizures. The focus was on seizures, and once I became convinced, and of course I don't even want to get into the spiritual aspect of this because it was insane. But the point is that once I started getting to know these families who needed this and these children who desperately needed this, whose brains were being shaken by these seizures and who this oil could help, once I recognized that there was something to it and the government bureaucracy and fear and ignorance had handcuffed unlocking what this can do because of the bad it can do. It's like all of us. We're all capable of doing great bad, or we're capable of doing great good. So we did Carley's Law. It started out, Carley's Law started out as the same as the Lenny's Law we actually passed, which was a decriminalization bill. I didn't know how we were going to get it. I didn't know how the doctors were going to work. I'm not a great bureaucrat, but I was an investigator. And I know a criminal when I see one. And I know these people who wanted this oil for this purpose were not criminals. And so we started out with what Lenny's Law was. And it was an election year, and a lot of people were afraid of the word marijuana and cannabis because it came from the cannabis plant. And we wound up, and I kept hearing there's no evidence. So we wound up turning Carley's Law into a research bill, and we put $1 million a year in the budget for UAB Neurology Department to study the effects of this as regard to seizures.
And it bore some fantastic fruit doing that.
Beyond, but here's the remarkable thing that I don't want to get lost in this. Those mamas and daddies who love their children, and quite frankly, there were some people that were smuggling in giving it to their children.
Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you if you thought there was something that could help your child? Yeah.
You understand any law that stands between people helping the suffering is a wrong law and needs to be fixed.
Yeah, and so, I think there are a lot of us. I mean, you and I have never met before, but I've said your name many times on the radio because I said, hey, this is medicine. They're researching at UAB. This CBD, this oil is medicine, and it's helping people. And I don't know, because, I mean, look at the other things that are medicine out there, putting air quotes, that come from a lot of different places that they could be abused and cause a problem or used as medicine. But then I wonder what has changed now from what you've done with CBD when you start talking about this latest push and medical marijuana. Now we're not talking about the oil, right? Now we're talking about actual marijuana.
Right, and there's a reason for that. Of course, actually, there is medical value to marijuana. The oil, we discovered it in the oil again first. We got evidence. We got scientists researching it. We came back a couple of years later when Lenny, if you've seen the picture of me holding the baby mm-hmm. that's gone everywhere,
mm-hmm.
that's Lenny. And I woke up one night a couple of years later, and I found out that Lenny had been denied access to the study. So she couldn't get the oil, and her family had to move out to Oregon so they could get the oil for Lenny. And I saw a video of that baby who was zombified before, and I saw her a few weeks after she started on that oil, and I saw a video of her watching Frozen. And as I watched the joy in that baby's face, I knew we had to go back to the decriminalization. I knew the next step. The fact is, through all this, if somebody would have told me 5 years ago I'd be carrying this bill, I would have said they was crazy.
Yeah.
But the fact is, whatever it was that was, I was just trying to do the next right thing. And whatever it was that was showing me the next right thing was leading me right here where I am.
You're joining us. I just want to remind folks, I'm talking to Representative Mike Ball. The bill is HB 243. We're talking about it. So you say HB 243 was the next right thing in this string of events.
Yes. And now here's what happened. So a few months ago, we realized that Carley's Law was about to run out, and we needed to extend the research for the UAB and the epilepsy. And so we were going to have to extend the authorization. And also there were some tweaks in the Lenny's Law that we needed to clear up. Now, neither one of those had any regulations, so we had to restrict it to low THC because we didn't have a mechanism in place for them to get it. They had to get it where they could. So what happened, I had me and Dustin Chandler, who is Carly's dad, Amy Young in Oregon, who is Lenny's mom, Dr. Jerzy Szafarski who I think is probably the foremost expert on this from UAB in the neurology department.
Mm-hmm.
We had him sit down with us. We had Judge Terry Willingham Thomas, who served on the Court of Civil Appeals for a long time with us, and several others, but that was like the core group of trying to figure the next step. And like I said, I'm an investigator. I'm not much of an expert on nothing. You don't have to be an expert to be an investigator. You just have to be able to recognize who knows what they're talking about. And you have to be able to put the pieces together and figure things out. But anyway, so we had our unique team, and we started looking. We started out to tweak Lenny's Law and Carley's Law, but then when we started looking at other states, and Dr. Szafarski and Judge Thomas and both the parents, everybody, when we saw what Tennessee was doing, we said, holy moly, this is what we were looking for. This is a way to navigate, to really open up access and get the doctors in. And this gets a distribution system. One of the problems is just making it legal, the doctors, if they're going to collaborate with their patients, there has to be some place where the doctors can send them where they can get the type and quality of what it is they need for what it is they're treating it for. And we didn't have that. So we needed some sort of regulation, some sort of entity to authorize the growers, the distribution places, the outlets for people to get it where they know what they're getting, and there's oversight and some control. And so this is the mechanism that we're starting out. One of the things that I want to, as far as the compassionate access, I mean I think there's some that's the compassionate access component. Now, in the bill that's introduced, and I think we need to work on this a little bit, the research expansion. Of course, we just ran out of time because we was working on it all the way up to the session, and we wanted to get it in the hopper as quick as we could. But the compassionate, but the research expansion, we need. Y'all got University of South Alabama down there, an excellent medical facility. Listen, I want all of our state research universities to. I want this commission to authorize them to study this. I want them to authorize, to allow Auburn University to study this in their school of veterinary medicine and their agriculture. I want them to learn. We need to learn all we can about this plant so we can unlock the good in it.
All right, coming back, the second half of my conversation with Alabama Representative Mike Ball about his House bill that's in committee right now. This is HB 243. Come back to the second half next on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, online at fmtalk1065.com, plus the podcast of this show, like the 40-some-odd hours a week of live local programming we do. You can find her at fmtalk1065.com. Click the podcast tab on the front page of the website, or better yet, subscribe to iTunes or Stitcher. You go to Spotify for your music, our podcast there as well. And you can check us out. Tune In Radio, the same app you use to listen to us on your phone. Our podcasts are sitting over there as well. All right, let's get back into it. The second half of my interview recorded earlier this morning with Representative Mike Ball out of Madison, who has filed Bill 243 in the House about legalizing medicinal cannabis in the state of Alabama.
So I want this commission to authorize them to study this. I want them to authorize to allow Auburn University to study this in their School of Veterinary Medicine and their agriculture. I want them to learn. We need to learn all we can about this plant so we can unlock the good in it.
I want to talk about a couple things you mentioned here. Representative Mike Ball, our guest here, talking about HB 243. You mentioned something about the propagation or the growing of marijuana. Is that something that would be done in state, or is that to work with the growers elsewhere? Would that be?
Oh, this will be in state.
So in Alabama, they'll be growing. If this would go through, they'd be growing the plants to use for this medical cannabis.
It will be strictly controlled and inspected. And you understand it'll be difficult to get these licenses. So these people that have these licenses will be highly incentivized to not lose their license and to comply with the law. And what we've got a component for the state agriculture department to be involved in the inspection and helping them with it. And which is another reason why we need to allow Auburn University. We've got all the resources here in Alabama that is perfect to make we are number one in the nation in opioid use.
Mm-hmm.
Number
capita.
One.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, UAB did a research study that the School of Medicine, that one of the recommendations of opioid abuse is to legalize medical cannabis.
Well, okay, that's because I want to circle back around. Let me, because I want you to answer that, because I'm reading through and it says, run through here, the story from Alabama Daily News says, Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission would administer a patient registry system for people with qualifying conditions and issue them medical cannabis cards. Is that correct so far?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, that's part of it. And one of the things I want to say while we're on that, I'm getting a little pushback from folks about that they don't like the registry system because they're afraid the feds can track these people down and get them. They need to understand that if you get a prescription, there's a paper trail there. And what we're trying to do is mirror the other process that we can't use for this. So go ahead.
Okay, and it says the bill lists about 30 qualifying conditions. You were just talking about cancer.
Let me say this about the qualifying condition. Dr. Slavarsky, they come from him. Wherever he finds evidence that they can help, they come from him. So I know this is broad, but this came from the medical guy, not me. Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying, 30 qualifying conditions, cancer, autism, epilepsy, terminal conditions, end-of-life care. But going back to the one you just mentioned, addiction is on there. I mean, you know, Representative Ball, people are going to hear that you're going to treat addiction by giving them cannabis, give them marijuana. People are going to roll their eyes here.
Of course. And you want me to tell you something? Whenever you do something good, there's always naysayers. There's always people that will roll their eyes. But you know what? Those people who have addictions, and almost everybody has some sort of addiction. I'm a coffee hound. But I love to play music, and it's almost an addiction. You could call anything an addiction, and it happens. But there's substance abuse.
Isn't that just swapping substances, though? I mean,
yes, of course it is. But here's the point: you've got a substance. They can tone down the amount of THC, and you know, do you want to? How many people have died from opioid overdoses?
But the numbers pretty staggering.
What I'm saying is, but opioid addiction has to be treated. It's treated on a spiritual level, but it's also treated on a medical level too. Actually, for for addiction treatment to be successful, it has to have a spiritual component and a medical component. And I will tell you, there's no spirit more powerful than the spirit of compassion.
So with this this registry, there would be, I guess there would be certain qualified physicians, like it wouldn't be all physicians that would write the prescription, or would only be certain, or how does that work?
Well, of course, there's a reason that I've requested this bill to be sent to the medical condition, the health committee in the House, because I want them to put lay eyes on this. We originally, when we were on one of our early drafts, we had the Department of Public Health selecting and authorizing the criteria for physicians, for people to be qualified to treat using cannabis. And of course, what we've decided to do is this commission that's going to have a lot of medical expertise, we will let them promulgate the criteria necessary for somebody to be qualified to treat using cannabis.
Because you said here, yeah, I mean, I'm reading it, diagnosis.
It's not wide open for all doctors.
Okay. Is that true that it said diagnosis of a qualifying condition would have to be made by a licensed physician, physician assistant, or certified nurse practitioner?
But it would have to be one of these people. I mean, we want it to be one of these people. We might have to put the phrase in there, who is authorized by the commission.
Okay. All right. So will they pay a fee to the state, or how is that going to work?
There will be fees associated with this because you understand the general fund can't finance this commission, this bureaucracy that's going to go with it. It's going to have to self-sustain. So
it's going to be earmarked, and the money coming from that will like be earmarked to administer this or something to that
effect?
Well,
right. There will be there will be a fee associated with the issuance of the cards. There will be an inspection fee and a license fee associated with the growers, and it'll be steep, which provides the incentive for them not to want to lose it. And there will be fees associated with those who apply for it, and the sale of it will be taxed to self-sustain. So
there is a revenue component here. I mean,
component to it, and what we've done is. It will go into a separate fund, and out of the fund first will be the administrative cost associated with this, and if there's anything left over, it'll go to the general fund.
Let's just talk about the raw politics of it, Representative Ball. That may bring some votes
the
in.
The dirty part of it.
Yeah, the dirty part of it. Let's talk about it because we do it on the show. That part of it right there, you think would get you some votes?
You know what?
It's money.
There are some people who are moved by compassion for the heat to help heal the sick, and that's where my primary solicitation is. But there's some people that, quite frankly, don't have as much compassion as others that are more cold dollars and cents. And show me the number sheet, and quite frankly, that will move them. And for this to function as it is, it's got to have the financial component right, it's got to have the regulatory component right, and it's got to be driven by compassion first. And when you put them all together, that's one of the reasons when I saw this concept that Senator Janice Moling in Tennessee had come up with. I mean, we were just shaken by how much we need. This is a giant step for Alabama, but I know this is the step that I believe it's time to take.
I wonder if that step's going to be a step too far, though, because people will say, you know, that this kind of treatment's not FDA approved. The Medical Association of the State of Alabama has not supported cannabis, CBD, but not cannabis in the past. So, I mean, that's a big change if you're successful.
Well, it won't be me successful. It will be us successful. It will be whatever it is that's making this happen. This thing that I'm following, this whatever this is that has brought me here. Listen, this isn't my bill. I'm just the shepherd. This belongs to the entire legislature. This belongs to everybody in Alabama, and I'm just the shepherd to try to get it through the process and get it. And you know what? When we get on the other end, we're not going to have a perfect bill. You know, we'll probably, a year or two as it starts getting in place, we'll have to do other bills to tweak on it. That's what, I mean, that's the nature of the beast. But and you'll run into people. Listen, if people want to find something they don't like about this, they can find it. People that are afraid of marijuana and afraid of potheads running wild in the streets, what they need to keep in mind, and I'm a cop. I'm quite familiar with all of this stuff, I used to be before I joined the other side and got in politics. But the thing is, listen, if people who want to abuse marijuana, if their mind is set to do that, they can go out and buy a bag of dope. The only people we're really restricting access to marijuana is the researchers, the doctors, and actually a lot of the patients can have access to it. They just can't work with the doctors. They have to be the people that actually need it that try to find a way to use it. They have to be credible. What I'm saying is we just need to shut out the old backward thinking, and if we're in the right mindset, we can get this done. I'm not fussing at you. I'm just cranked up about it.
Well, that's good. And I got to, before we wrap up here, I have to ask this. I don't even have to look at my emails or the text messages, and I know there'll be questions this way, so I'll go ahead and pose the question to you. The people will say, well, the only reason Representative Mike Ball is doing this is he's being financed. There's somebody putting money in, some big marijuana, big smoking interest out there that is financing this. So your chance to answer that.
Whoever says that is just a bald-faced liar and don't know what they're talking about. They can ask Dustin and Amy, and they can ask the people, and quite frankly, my colleagues know where this is coming from, and I'm sure that might come from people that don't know me, but quite frankly, I mean there will be some folks that will probably be able to make some money. If you don't have that, you're never going to get access to it. I'm not the best money guy in the world. There's a good reason I'm not on one of the budget committees.
and reminding folks, too, this is now with the medical committee. Is that where it's going to be placed?
It's in the health committee
of
the House.
Health committee.
Okay. And I will tell you, the folks in the health committee, they're good people, and they're going to help us get the best bill that we can possibly have that we're going to move forward. I'm looking forward to getting this done, and this is just one of those things that it's time to do.
I appreciate you joining us, and when this moves out and there's more discussion in the House, please come back and talk about it with us.
Oh, sure. Now that you got my phone number.
That's right. We've got it.
Call anytime.
Yeah, we got you on the contact list, Representative Mike Ball. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday. Even more bills being dropped today into regular session, and we'll start breaking those down for you tomorrow on Midday Mobile. All right, let's talk about what's happening on the weekend of April 6th. There's all kind of things we like to eat along the Gulf Coast, and I'd say one that's more almost as ubiquitous as seafood would be mac and cheese. That's why I raised an eyebrow, or maybe both of them, when Lauren Luckey and Wayne Dean from UCP of Mobile said, hey, we got the Mobtown Mac and Cheese Fest coming up. Welcome in and tell us, mac and cheese, it's competitive macaroni and cheese?
Yes, competitive macaroni and cheese.
Oh, and I didn't know there's such a thing. I mean, I thought you just had mac and cheese.
Yeah, well, you do, but you got competitive. There are all kind of ways you can prepare mac and cheese, with crawfish, with Kaneka sausage.
Oh, okay, we're putting stuff in it.
Oh, yes.
Breakfast mac and cheese, dinner mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm. We have two different categories that people can enter to compete in.
Okay.
One is your more classic mac and cheese. It's the kind your mom used to make you. It's just classic macaroni noodle, one to two types of cheese, your classic additives like thickening agents, heavy creams, shallots.
But it looks like
crumbs,
the mac and cheese.
But it's your regular mac and cheese.
All right, that's what I expect.
Now, that's one category, but on the other side of things, we have the gourmet category that kind of falls into hey, let's add an unconventional ingredient. Let's use an unconventional noodle. Let's put it in an unconventional package so it doesn't have to be...
Now, wait a second, Lauren. When does it, if you change enough stuff, when does it stop being mac and cheese?
When you have no mac and no cheese.
So as long as you have... some macaroni or
some kind of macaroni and
everything
cheese.
Else is cool.
Right.
Right. And so it has to, for the gourmet category, creativity is going to be something that the judges are going to be rewarding. So if you can get creative with it and come up with an interesting packaging. I mean, some people said, hey, I want to put Kaneka in my mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah.
I want to chop up some Kaneka and put that in there. Some people said, you know, I want to put some crawfish, do a crawfish mac and cheese. Some people mentioned a taco mac and cheese.
Hmm.
People like the bike shop, on their menu, they sell a mac and cheese empanada. Who knows if that's what they're going to be bringing to the table.
Okay, this is happening week from Saturday, right?
Right.
Week from Saturday. Are you full on teams? If somebody hears this now and they say, I got a mac and cheese recipe. Y'all ain't never seen nothing like it.
We have just a few openings for teams. So they need to jump on that ASAP. If they want to be on a team, we'd love to have them. But we're closing the corner, and the date for... applications is this Friday. We've extended the date out March 29th.
But if they call us and get in the system, we might, if we still have any, we might can work with them.
Okay, they just get in touch with you at UCP of Mobile.
Yeah, 479-4900.
What about those of us that just will be participants in the eating? When do we need to get our tickets?
For those, you can go ahead and get your tickets now. We are encouraging people to go ahead and get those tickets because this is a brand new event and because, you know, we have been pretty overwhelmed when we first shared this on social media. We had a tremendous outpouring of people just being super excited about it. So we are going to have to probably cap it at the door at a certain amount of time. This being the first time, we want to make sure that everybody can get their fill.
So where is that door, by the way? Where is it being held?
It is Cathedral Square.
So it's a figurative door.
Door.
Well, there will be an opening. It'll be the entrance, you know, like we have downtown.
All right, this is like you said, brand new because we cook different stuff. We cook seafood, we cook gumbo, we cook chili around here, but this is brand new to us. Mm-hmm. Mac and cheese. And now that you've opened up my eyes to what could be gourmet mac and cheese, I'm starting to think. So I mean, somebody do people out there, when they call you, they said, like the crawfish thing or whatever, they say, oh, yeah, we have this, like it's a regular occurrence in their house, and they're bringing that recipe, or they're just making it up for this?
I was speaking with a man last night at a Mardi Gras meeting. He said, oh, I want to participate, but I got a wedding that day. And he does as Lauren said, a crawfish package that he's done all of his...
I lived a sheltered life that I never had anything other than mac and cheese in our mac and cheese at the house. So I was always missing out on that. Also, while we have a second to remind folks, because I think it's such a very important thing to talk about, what y'all do with UCP, the number of families you impact here in our area.
Yeah, that number just amazes me every time I say it. We serve over 700 families every month. Alabama, and you know, just add how many people in the family.
Yeah.
It impacts a lot of people. Plus, their not only their family, but their friends and other associates. And I got another number for you.
Okay.
That we just learned this week. As you know, we've been on the program before. We have an e-cycle. You have your old computers with your
business.
Right.
We've taken part in it here.
Right.
Yeah.
And to date, we have recycled 550 tons of electronics.
Holy cow. Yeah, tell folks, too, because we participated in it. You've talked about it before on the show, eCycle. Tell people how this works. They're listening to us. Y'all, listen up, because this is going to apply to you, most likely.
Yeah, if you have any old computers, any old TVs. Now, I say any, but if you have the big box TV, we are unfortunately unable to take
those. Cathode ray tubes.
We no longer take cartridges. We're no longer part of the cartridge business. But if you have any other type of thing, pretty much if you can think about it, give us
computer
a call.
Computer parts, flat screen monitors.
Yeah, flat screen monitors, computer, actual computers.
Heaters.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that has cords.
you know, TV monitors, old cell phones, tablets.
Listen what Lauren's saying, and listen what Wayne's saying. I know somewhere in your office or your home you have this stuff. We had a bunch of it here at FM Talk 106.5, and, you know, you're in a pickle. Number one, you put it back because you know you can't just go throw it away in the trash as per normal. In this case, you can help out UCP of Mobile. And then they're going to come get the stuff.
Right. And Sean, I was going to say, too, if you're like me, I hear that one of the qualifiers to being an adult is having just a drawer full of old cords. And you don't really know what they match anymore. And you don't know, like, what is this a charger for an iPhone that I had, you know, 10 years ago? Is this a charger for before I even had an iPhone? Is this a charger?
Have you been peeking in my house?
We all have the drawer. And so we also take cords, like old lights, Christmas lights, those types of things. So these are all types of things. If it plugs into the wall, essentially, we'll take it.
Yeah, we have people we hire to take that and strip it to its very elements and sort it out at our e-cycle center.
This
We've
is
got boxes and boxes of that, and they put them all in, truck them up to Tennessee or somewhere up there, and
The money goes to UCP.
To UCP to help those 700 families.
What a great program. So y'all do that. At the same time, make sure you get your tickets, or if you're competitive with the mac and cheese, the Mobtown Mac and Cheese Fest. Once again, this happens when?
Saturday, April 6th. And we have a couple of tickets. When you're thinking about getting your ticket, we just have a few more options for our very important cheese tickets that we are selling. The VICs are going to have exclusive access an hour prior. So that is a little bit more expensive, but we are running out of those tickets. So if you want to get in an hour early, avoid the lines. But if the lines aren't something that you want to worry too much about, the ticket to go ahead and order it now is $12. It's going to go up to $15 at the door. And for those VIC tickets, those are going to be $25.
Great stuff.
All and right. You can go to ucpmobile.org, and it's a link right there for you.
Good stuff. Lauren, Wayne, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Paul Feinbaum on next.